سعادتي، فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر وبشر المؤمنين. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. What prompted me to choose tonight's topic about reverting to Allah and repentance is a question by a man, a young man, who once asked me, I have committed an excessiveness of sins. Do you think coming to the sessions of Imam Hussein during Ashura would help me to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My answer to him was, yes indeed. This is the way and this is the road and this is the beginning to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we address Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ya Baba Najat al-Rahma. The way we address him, as the Prophet did address him, Kulluna Sufulun Najat wa Safinatul Hussein Asra. Inna al-Hussein Misbahul Huda wa Safinatul Najat. Imam Hussein is the beacon of the light of guidance, and Imam Hussein is the rescue ship. Why did the Prophet use this parable? In the old days, people used to travel through the seas and the oceans by ships, and all of a sudden they face and confront huge waves which makes the ship sinks and it breaks into pieces. The only way of recovery at that time was to send another boat, another ship, a rescue ship. That is the only hope that remains for the passengers of that ship. Inna al-Husayn Misbahul Huda wa Safinatul Najat. He is the rescue ship for those who are drowning in sins, for those who are sinking in this lower life. Imam Hussein represents the hope to take them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why repentance is necessary in our life? The primary purpose of man's life on earth is to experience the divine intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to experience Allah's attributes, to feel them, to enjoy them. The only reason why I and you and everybody else lives on this planet earth is to experience Allah's love and compassion, truly feel it in our life, not just by words, but we feel that compassion and that love, to enjoy it, to be fascinated by it, to be touched and moved by Allah's love. That is the only purpose why we live here. And that is the only way for salvation. And the only road, the only way to experience this intimacy and this mutual relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has to be mutual and reciprocal. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. It is mutual. If you feel that you have the love of God in your heart, then you have to be assured and you have to be 1%, 100% confident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves you. And you occupy an important place in His heart. The only way to experience God's intimacy is to grow in virtues. Virtues that have their origination, their foundation, and their source, and their perfection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the source of the entire goodness in this universe. Allahu nuru as-samawati wal-ardh. Whatever goodness is found in this life, whatever perfection is found in this universe, goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to realize that the only person that benefits from goodness or evil is the doer himself. من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها. He who does good, he only does good to himself. He is going to benefit from this goodness first. Before his goodness reaches others, he is going to be the first beneficiary of this goodness. And on the contrary, whoever does evil, وَمَنْ ضَلَّ, whoever is blind in this life, he is blind to his own self. He is going to see the repercussions of his evil doing. He is going to reap the problems, the harm, and the loss first. This is a formidable law in the Quran. Surah Al-Isra. من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها. If you do good, you are the first one to see the results. If you do evil and bad, before we die, we're going to see. If we do not repent, we're going to see the repercussions and the consequences of our evil doing. And the only way to enjoy these virtues is through the promotion of the goodness and good deeds in this life. And the only way to be bereft of this goodness is to commit sin and evil. And hence, the repercussions are very long, are very intrinsic. If man insists on committing sin, knowing that this is a sin, and does not repent, does not go back to Allah, he becomes stubborn. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Rather than going into God's direction, he goes exactly into the opposite direction. If this is the case, then the suffering is going to be very long, and he's going to experience chronic suffering in this life. A very small example of our life. We understand this example. Someone who smokes cigarettes. Ask any doctor today. He would tell you that if someone smokes for even 1 year, in order for him to go back as a healthy person, he has to wait for 10 years. The effect of smoking, even if he quits today, if he quits smoking today, the effect of it is going to stay with him for 10 years. It takes 10 years to clear the smoke from your body, the effect of the smoke, the poison of the smoke from your body. It takes 10 years. And therefore, someone who insists on committing sin, he's going to suffer. The suffering is not 1 or 2 days, 1 or 2 months, or 1 or 2 years. The suffering is a chronic, perpetual, forever. The effect is going to remain with him for the rest of his life if he decides to remain unrepentant. This is why repentance is necessary. If you want to be happy in this life, you have only one way, and that is to go back to Allah. That is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the great risks taken by the unrepentant person, a person who does not want to repent, a persistent sinner in this life, one of the great risks taken by him is to bring a permanent damage to his spiritual and moral center. Where is the spiritual and moral center? Where is it? Can you tell me? Point. Where is the spiritual and moral center of a human being? It's the heart. In this area. The spiritual heart. This is the machine. This is the essence. This is our essence. He will bring damage to this center. He will experience spiritual decay. And this spiritual decay is going to hamper the growth in virtue. And thus, the damage is going to be an everlasting. And if he continues sinning and not repenting, he continues does the same sin. It could be drinking, fornication, theft, murder, disobeying his parents, neglecting his prayers, and so on and so forth. If he insists on doing such sins, then he is going to be habituated with sin. Habituated with sin. This means the normalization of the sin. He is going to grow desensitized to this sin. So if the sin is drinking, he would still keep drinking without realizing that what he is doing is wrong. He would not even recognize that this is a mistake. He would consider it something very normal. If that sin is fornication, then again, he would think, for him, this is not fornication. This is not a sin. This is not a violation. This is something normal. And this is why you see certain people, they insist on sinning. Why? Because they become habituated with sin. Parts of their life, parts of their habit, parts of their manners, they are so addicted to sin that it becomes part of their life. They reach a point that they cannot quit. It will be almost difficult for them to quit. Not that they cannot quit. They look at it as something normal, something good. They enjoy it. They do not feel the slightest remorse about it. This is the danger here. Listen to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 22 give us the parable of such examples of people who insisted on sinning to the extent that they reached the point that there is no return to Allah. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. They do have hearts, but they don't think by their hearts. They do have eyes and ears, but they don't function. They became dead, completely dead. And the real blindness, it is not the blindness of the sight and the eyes. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. The real blindness, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. When the heart of the sinner becomes hard, harsh, desensitive, cruel, dead, and rusted, a dead heart. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 72. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He describes Bani Israel and he chides them, rebukes them here. He reprimands with some harsh sentences, harsh criticisms. This is what he says to Bani Israel. After mentioning their misdeeds and mischiefs and their mistakes and their errors and their crimes, they committed so many crimes. Go and open Surah Al-Baqarah. Look at the history of Bani Israel. And see how they revolted not against Musa and Harun, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah enumerates their crimes, at the end, He makes this powerful declaration. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. After committing so much sins and crimes, and not reverting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we afflicted you with this punishment. And it suffices as a punishment to you. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. After committing so much crimes, your heart became what? Became very hard. Hard against what? It's good to have your heart as a hard one, as a good believer. But hard here in this context, qasat, against what? Against admonishment, against faith, and against Allah, against the truth and the reality. This is the cruelty, the harshness, the mercilessness of the heart. قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. That is the toughest punishment by Allah. قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. الإمام الباقر عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام says, ما ضرب عبد بعقوبة أعظم من قسوة القلب. ما ضرب عبد بعقوبة أعظم من قسوة القلب. That is the harshest sentence, the harshest divine sentence against a sinner, a persistent sinner, an obstinate who continues his sins and his crimes and never give himself a chance to think, why I am doing this? Why I am not going back to Allah? Why I am committing so much mischief against myself? قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. His heart becomes inhumane, the inhumanity of the heart, the mercilessness of the heart. قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. And then, if a person reaches this point, there is no hope in him going back. There is no hope in him getting salvation. Because he shut all the doors. He does not want to go back to Allah. And Allah does not afflict this damage right away, immediately. Allah is so patient. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْحِلْ وَلَا يُحْمِلْ. Allah gives respite. When He sees me committing a sin, He does not punish me the first time, neither the second time, nor the third time, nor the fourth time. Allah has long patience and endurance. Allah gives me a respite so I can go back to Him. But once I carry on and continue and persist in my wrongdoing forever, I don't even feel the remorse. I don't even feel bad inside me that I did something wrong. At that time, I'm going to develop qaswatul qalb. Listen again to the Quran in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Good. I love those who repeat after me. I want you to memorize the Quran. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Beautiful verse. Let's reflect on it. Allah says those who commit a sin, Allah says, the heart, I create the heart immaculate, clean, pure, spotless. But when a human being, they start committing a sin, with every sin is committed, what happens to your heart? What happens? It gets stained, small stain. If another sin comes, the stain gets bigger. If a third sin comes again, then the stain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If we do not repent sincerely, if we don't go back to Allah, if we do not stand in the middle of the night and say to Him, listen, I am sorry and I mean it. And I'm going to promise you, I'm not going to do this again. If I don't do this, then the stain is going, the evil is going to cover the entire heart. كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Creates a thick layer, surrounds the heart from all direction. And then after that, when the heart is surrounded by sins, in this case, what happens? The heart gets rusted and veiled. At that time, Allah says, when your heart, you know why God created heart? If you study heart in the science, it tells you that the heart is a pump, palpitates and sends the blood where? To your veins. And without it, we can't live. Without the oxygen, without the food, we cannot live. But the real reason why God created heart, the spiritual heart, is not to send the blood to your arteries and veins. The real reason is to be able to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only device, the only human device that we have, which is able to establish communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the heart. And Allah says, لَا تَسَعُنِي أَرْضِي وَسَمَائِي وَلَكِنْ يَسَعُنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِ. I have created this entire universe, but yet the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the deserts and the oceans, they cannot host me. I would not live in these areas. The only house, the only room, my favorite room and house, is the heart of my true servant. I choose to live in your heart, O my true servant. وَلَكِنْ يَسَعُنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Although the heart is so small, but yet Allah is so happy with this space, because the heart is genuine. And Allah finds a genuine room. Allah looks for a genuine space. Allah wants to live in a beautiful, genuine, immaculate space. So He chooses your heart. So if the heart gets rested and veiled and dark, it cannot contain Allah. It cannot host Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah is missing from my heart, ماذا وجد من فقدك? Oh my Lord, if you are missing from my heart, then I am going to find nothing to be happy with. I'm going to be the real loser. Nothing would help me if God is not in my heart. No wealth, no money, no fancy cart, no sport cars, no wealth, no beautiful mansion, no exotic vacation is going to make me happy and satisfied. Because the real reason of happiness is missing, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when the heart gets rusted, what happens to us? We cannot communicate anymore with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We miss the communication. كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ They're going to be barred from what? From the divine beauty, from the divine glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not going to be able to see it, to enjoy it, to witness Allah. And this is what Imam Zain al-Abidin says in Dua Abi Hamzat al-Thamali. Imam Zain al-Abidin refers to this fact, this important fact, وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ Oh my Lord, Oh my Allah, you do not disclose yourself from your servants, except they themselves, through their own wickedness, they bar themselves and they deny themselves the presence of your beauty, the witnessing of your beauty. إِلَّا أَن تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالِ Through our misdeeds and evil doing and sins, we bar ourselves. We create a curtain. We drop this curtain between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is there. Allah is always shining. We can reach Him and we can communicate with Him. But what prevents me from reaching Him is what? Is my sins. And the more sins I commit, the farther and farther I get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a big loss. This is a big loss. So this is why repentance is necessary. The second question, does He want me to repent and go back to Him or not? He's so unhappy with me that He does not want me to go back to Him. What do you think? The answer is in the Quran. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا O my servants who committed excessiveness, immoderation of sins against themselves. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا إسراف is excessiveness of sins على أنفسهم against themselves. لا تقنطوا Do not lose hope in God's mercy, in God's forgiveness. Don't think that you have reached a point that you cannot make it back to Him. Still there is room to go back to Him. Still there is hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to leave the contrite, repentant, the person who wants to go back to Him, Allah is not going to leave him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reach out to him. to come to his aid, to help him, to embrace him, to welcome him into his domain and vicinity. This is an invitation. Look at this ayah for those of you who can reflect on this ayah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. Allah is addressing whom here? All people? Not all people. What people here are addressed in this ayah? Those who are deeply engrossed in sins. Not just one or two sins. Deeply engrossed in sins. أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Still do not give up hope. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah welcomes you. Allah wants you to go back to Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. He reaches out to us to help us, to guide us step by step through spiritual recuperation and recovery. Just like a nurse, when the nurse holds your hand in the hospital to walk with you, to guide you, to nurse you, to nurture you. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will hold your hands to bring you back to Him. He would not disappoint you. He would not shut His door. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. قَرِيبٌ. I am so close. I am so eminent. I am so close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Musa alayhi salam one day asks his Lord, إلهي أنت قريب فأناجيك أم بعيد فأناديك. Tell me, are you close to me so I can whisper? Or you are far from me so I can call and shout and raise my voice? The answer comes to him, Ya Musa, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. I am so close to the one with only one condition. If you sincerely remember Allah, if you sincerely think about Him, if you sincerely feel Him and speak to Him, when you speak to Him, you have to be sincere. You have to be honest. Let's not cheat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not be dishonest. Let me say to myself, when I speak to Him, I should not lie to Him. I should tell Him exactly what I feel and what I want. I should not cheat with Allah. If I am honest with Him, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. You will find me sitting next to you. You don't have to bring an intermediary in the middle. You don't have to go to the priest or the imam or the sheikh or the sayyid. أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. As long as you want me and you need me and you call upon me with sincerity, you find me next to you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُجِيبُنِي حِينَ أُنَادِيهِ وَيَسْتُرُ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ عَوْرَةٍ وَأَنَا أَعْصِيهِ وَيُعَظِّمُ النِّعْمَةَ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُجَازِيهِ. Beautiful words from an infallible imam, from al-imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. Think about this. He calls you. He responds to you when you call upon Him immediately, without the need to wait in line, without the need to have an appointment with Him. Alhamdulillah alladhi yujibuni hina unadi. Allah encourages us to go back to Him. Even if you have some hard feelings about Him, He would never have hard feelings about you. Listen to this story. Musa alayhi salam, on his way in the desert of Sinai, on his way to Mount Tur, to chat and speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he came across a man. The man asked him about his destination. Musa said to him, I'm going to speak with God soon. I'm heading to Mount Tur. I stand at the top of the mountain, at the summit of the mountain, and speak to God. The man said, since you are going to speak to your Lord, can you take my message to him? I have an urgent message to him. Musa said, yes, sure, I'll take it. He said, oh Musa, when you go and meet with your Lord, tell him that I am so angry with him. I am unhappy with him. And he should be feeling ashamed about himself. I don't want to be his servant. And I don't want him to be my Lord. And I don't want his sustenance and his help and his food and his health. Keep it for him. I am so disappointed with him. And I would never want to go back to him. Musa was so dismayed and outraged. Musa was so angry. And he decided not to take this message to Allah. Because this message is so rude. So he went to Allah. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. He stands at the top of the mountain and speaks to Allah. And he finishes his chatting with Allah. After an hour, when he was about to leave, he finished his talks. Allah said to him, Musa, that's it? No more talks? He said, no more talks. He said, are you sure you have nothing to deliver to me? No message? Musa, since he was an honest person, he could not lie to Allah. He said, my Lord, there is a message, but the message is so rude, full of obscene language, coming from any grateful servant. So I feel embarrassed to convey this message to you. I can't. I really can't mention it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Ya Musa, is the man your servant or my servant? He said, Ilahi, this is your servant. He said, then you are a messenger and you have to be an honest person. He asked you to convey the message to me. Where is his message? So Musa mentions that message. But he was so embarrassed. When he finished, Allah said, Ya Musa, I want you to rush to this man. First of all, give him my greetings and my peace. Say to him that if you don't love your Lord still loves you. If you don't care about him, he does care about you. And when he provides you with sustenance, he's not doing any favor to you. This is his obligation. Your Lord says, this is my obligation. Since I created you, I have to cherish you. I have to sustain you. It's like a mother, when the mother feeds the baby. It's not her duty. She does not look at it as a duty, as a responsibility and a privilege. Allah says, it is my privilege to feed him and sustain him and protect him. If he feels ashamed that he's my servant, I would not feel ashamed. If he feels ashamed that I am his Lord, I don't feel ashamed that he's my servant. And I don't feel any disgraced. And I'm still interested in him. I'm interested in him returning back to me. Tell him, Musa, I would welcome him with open arms whenever he wants to come back to me. Musa leaves the mountain and he rushes to that man with this urgent message of overwhelming kindness and forgiveness and humbleness and generosity. Allahu Akbar. What do you read in Dua Rajab? What What do you read in Dua Rajab about Allah and His generosity? Ya man yu'ti man sa'alah. Oh, the Lord who gives to the one who asks Him. Ya man yu'ti man lam yas'alhu wa man lam ya'rif. Oh my Lord, my compassionate Lord, who gives the one that does not only does not ask Him, does not recognize Him, does not recognize His authority, His lordship. يَا مَنْ يُعْطِي مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلْهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ. Why? تَحَنُّنًا مِنْهُ وَرَحْمَةً. Out of compassion and mercy. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. Embraces everything. Embraces the friend and the foe, the believer and the non-believer, the grateful and the ungrateful. So Musa goes to this man and tells him God's message. The man was shocked. The man could not take it anymore. He throws himself to the floor, to the ground. He weeps, he cries, and he asks Allah forgiveness. He says, Ilahi, I thought at first you are my enemy. Now I realized you are a true friend. You are a sincere friend. You are still, despite what I said, despite my stand against you, you are still interested in me, interested in me going back to you. He weeps and then he raises his head and he says, Ya Musa, I want you to testify that I repent and I seek God's forgiveness and I want to go back to Him. This is your Lord. At the time when the children of Israel were in the desert, at the time of a drought, they were crying and weeping for some rain. And Allah sends a message to Musa. Musa, I know that among you there are children, there are infants, there are nursing mothers, there are animals. But yet, I'm not going to send the rain because of one person, a sinner, with a grave sin. إِنَّ فِيكُمْ نَمَّامًا. A talebearer, a slanderer, because of one slanderer, talebearer, I'm not going to send the rain. Musa stands in the middle of the community. Musa says, I want this man to get out. Get out of here. Allah says, as long as this man is among us, He would never respond to our cry and our prayers. He would not send us any rain. And if there is no rain, we're going to perish. We have animals, we have cattle, we have people who are in need for food. Nobody stands. Nobody leaves the room. The Namam, the talebearer, he realized that it is him. He knows himself. He recognizes himself. But he could not stand. Again, Musa stands. I want that man to get out. We don't want to spend the whole day in the desert here. We have to go back home. So please, for that man who knows himself, he has to leave. No answer. Musa gets impatient. He turns to Allah. He says, Ilahi, this man, he's so wicked. He does not want to leave. Can you tell me his name and show me this man? Allah answers him, Ya Musa, ana akrahu an-namima, aturidu an akuna namaman? I hate this habit of tale bearing. Now you are asking me to tell you who that man is? You ask me, Musa? Wake up, Musa. I would not do the same mistake. I am the Lord. So again, Musa repeats his threat and his sentence again and again and again. The man knows that he has no chance but to go to the nearest one to him. Who is the nearest one to him? Who is the nearest one to you? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ
ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد.
We are closer to man than his jugular vein. He is the closest one to you. So he turns to Allah. He says, Ilahi, do not embarrass me. The whole community is watching here. I can't leave. And I find no solution but you. And no hope but you. And I testify that I repent.
And he weeps. Immediately, the sky is covered by clouds. And the rain starts to pour down heavily. Musa stands and asks, Ilahi, what happened? You changed your mind? We didn't see any man leaving the room here, leaving the desert, leaving this community. Nobody left. Maybe you changed your mind. Allah said, Ya Musa, إنني ما أنزلت المطر إلا بسبب ذلك النمام لأنه تاب واستغفر.
It is exactly the same tale bearer who prevented you from receiving my mercy an hour ago. It is him because he reverted to me, because he sought forgiveness and repentance. And for his sake, I am bestowing my mercy and my reign on the entire community. This is your Lord. What do we address him? Even the kids, they know this sentence. What is the first sentence we teach our kids? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of the Lord, the most merciful, the most compassionate. This is Allah. And this is Imam Hussein tonight before you, and you are sitting as a guest, and he's the host. And he's Babu al-Najat wa Babu al-Rahma. Ya Rahmatullah al-Wasi'ah wa ya Baba Najat al-Ummah. He's the gate of mercy and forgiveness. It needs one thing from you. It needs that here, down here, deep down into your heart, you become sincere and honest with Allah. And tell him tonight, give me one more chance. And I will prove to you that I am going to be your true servant and a true friend. Let me conclude by saying why some people revert back to sins. There are reasons, but the main reason, they commit a sin, they repent, but after a period of time, a couple of days, couple of weeks, they go back to the same sin. Why? Why? This is the manifestation of the unrepentant soul. This means that the repentance in the first place was not genuine, was not sincere. One day Imam Ali alayhi salam sees a man, walks in the streets, commits a sin, and immediately says, Astaghfirullah. Imam Ali says to him, ثَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ أَتَدْرِي مَا مَعْنَى الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. You think it's so easy? You commit an act of theft, you commit a violation, and you can erase it by just saying verbally and orally. You apologize to God and say to him, I'm sorry, and that's it? You think you can recover the situation here? You can offset the damage here? It's not like that. Al-istighfaru darajatul aliyin. It's the position of the saints, the apostles, the prophets, the imams. Wahwa qa'imun ala sitti ma'an. It is composed of six different meanings and steps. Number one is to feel the contrition in your heart. To feel so bad. To feel the pain. First, this is the first step. Second, والعزم على ترك العود إليه أبدا. The second step is not to revert back, not to do the same sin again.
to make a strong determination, to a strong vow with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-azm, azm, from azima, strong will. Strong will. To make strong will. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to put myself in the same situation again. I'm not going to go to the same place, because when I went the first time, I committed a sin. I promised I go to the party and I don't drink. But when I went there, it was a mixed party, wild party. There are, you know, girls and boys dancing. And I said, well, it's maybe once a year, once in my lifetime. So I started dancing with them and someone gave me the drink and I just took it. You should never go to the same place. Al-azm ala tark al-awd ilayhi abada. Strong determination not to go back. Because if you go back to it, it means that you never repented. You were not serious. You did not even realize the meaning of repentance. If you take your car to the mechanics, and then you take it back from him, and 2 days later you take it to the same mechanics, what does that mean? It means that he did not do a great job. His job was unfinished. He didn't even work on your car, or he did not understand or diagnose what's wrong with your car, because you are taking the car again to him. He didn't finish his job. When you do the istighfar, you have to finish the job. You have to be sincere. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. And this is the nights. These are the nights of Ashura. I don't think there are other nights ahead of us, at least for the upcoming months. There is no other opportunity where we can sit in a beautiful, spiritual, humble session like this. I know many of you at home, you don't sit on the floor, neither on the school. But for Imam Hussein, we are ready to do whatever it takes. We sit on the floor. This is a manifestation of our humbleness, of our willingness to follow Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And now let's have a look at the camp of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. Two brief stories of those who had been heading into the wrong direction and they changed their direction during the day of Ashura. They decided to come back to Allah. And Allah reached out to them, embraced them, bestowed His mercy and kindness on them, so they were able to receive salvation, repentance and goodness at the very last hours of their life. Aqibatul khair. This is aqibatul khair. Allah reached out to them. One is Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, a man who was circling in a different orbit than the orbit of Ahlul Bayt. Kana Uthmaniyul Hawa. He was not one of the followers or the fans of Ahlul Bayt. He was exactly in the opposite camp to the camp of Ahlul Bayt. But listen to what happened to him. In one of the resting stations between Mecca and Karbala, when Imam Hussein was there and he realized that there is such a prominent person is in the same vicinity, in the same village, he sent him a messenger. The messenger of Imam Hussein came to invite him to join the camp of Imam Hussein. Zuhair was sitting with his wife and eating food. He was upset. He was offended. When the messenger of Imam Hussein came to him inviting him, he was so offended. He didn't like it. His free-spirited wife, Dalham bint Amr, she turns to him. She says to him, Zuhair, yad'uka Rasulul Hussein, Rasul ibn binti Rasulullah, fala tujibuh. This messenger comes from the grandson of the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet that you respect him and honor him, and you mention him in your adhan and iqama and prayers, and you say many times a day, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. and you decline to respond to him, Zuhair? Is this an attitude of a Muslim man? Zuhair stands and he goes with this messenger. He goes with a simple touch from Imam Hussein. Allahu Akbar. Look at the glance of Imam Hussein. This is what we seek during these nights. This is our goal, to come to this majalis, to have Imam Hussein just look at us. One single glance, one single look of mercy and compassion. ذهب بوجه وعاد بوجه آخر. This is what his friends say about him. When he went to Imam Hussein and he came back to his wife, again inside the tent, he came completely changed and transformed. A different person. Different person. They could tell from his face. He said to his wife, I decided to join the camp of Imam Hussein, the caravan of Imam Hussein, and go with him to Karbala to fight injustice of Bani Umayyah. His wife said to him, Anta tuwasi al-rijal wa ana uwasi al-nisa. And I am going to join you and I congratulate you. Look at the shift, immediate shift. When someone decides to go back to Allah, Allah will embrace him with an open heart, an open arm. This is one example. The second one, Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Salamullahi alayhi. Al-Hurr was one of the most decorated army leaders, generals in the city of Kufa. He was so famous for his bravery and courage. And he was dispatched by Ibn Ziyad to intercept Imam Hussein alayhi salam, not to let him make it to the city of Kufa. Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, on the 10th day of Muharram, the day of Ashura, in the morning, when the combat was about to begin, he turns to Umar ibn Sa'd, the army commander, and he asks him, أَمُقَاتِلٌ أَنْتَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ? Are you serious? You want to begin the war against Imam Hussein? He said, نَعَمْ وَاللَّهِ قِتَالًا أَيْسَرُهُ أَنْ تَسْقُطَ الرُّؤُوسُ وَتَطِيحُ الْأَيْدِ. I'm serious about it. And you will see. I will cut them into pieces. Umar ibn Sa'd says about Imam Hussein and his companions, I will cut them into pieces. You will see that. Hur was standing in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd, was about to attack the camp of Hussein. When he heard this, أَخَذَتْهُ الرَّعْشَ, he started trembling of fear. His friend who was standing next to him, he said, Al-Muhajir ibn Aws, he said to him, يَا حُرْ مَا بِكَ يَا حُرْ وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ عَنْ أَجْجَعِ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ لَمَا عُدَوْتُكَ. What happened to you? Are you crazy? You are trembling of fear? If I am asked about the most brave man in the city of Kufa, you will be the first name to be mentioned. What happened to you? Listen to the answer. The answer of Hur was, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي أَرَى نَفْسِي مُخَيَّرَةً بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَلَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. This is the most decisive and critical moment of my life. I look at myself, my soul, swinging and swaying between two places, two abodes. One is hellfire and one is paradise. And nothing can come across between me and paradise today. وَلَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. This is a serious moment. And I have to make the right decision today. And while he was saying this sentence, he started slowly, slowly moving towards the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا كَانَ فِي مُنْتَصَفِ الطَّرِيقِ انْكَسَرَ قَلْبُهُ وَخَشَعَتْ نَفْسُهُ وَجَرَتْ دُمُوعُهُ. Halfway through, between the camp of Bani Umayyah and the camp of Imam Hussein, his heart broke and his tears started to roll down. And then he turns to the heaven. He says, Allahumma inni atubu ilayk. Allahumma ashhad alayya inni atubu ilayk. Faqad ar'abtu quluba awladik wa abna' wa awla' quluba awliya'ika wa abna'i ibnati nabiyyik. Allah, you are my witness that now I am changing. My heart is changing. My affiliation is changing now. I am shifting to your side, to the side of the Prophet and his family. And I confess my guilt and my sin. I have instigated fear in the hearts of your true friends, awliya'ik, and the children of your apostle, your prophet. And he reaches the camp of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was sitting on the floor. Hur was mounting his horse. He stands before Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is the way he introduces himself. He does not mention his name. Look at the way he addresses himself. So humble, so sincere. You can tell this man was sincere in his repentance. He says, Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, Ana sahibuka alladhi mana'tuka 'an at-tariq. I am the guilty person. I am the one who intercepted you when you were journeying through the desert of Iraq and heading to Kufa. Ana sahibuka alladhi mana'tuka 'an at-tariq. وَجَعْجَعْتُ بِكَ وَبِأَهْلِكَ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الْمَكَانِ. I am the one who caused all this suffering for you and your family and forced you to come to this desert, intercepted you from going to Kufa, from reaching to your friends and companions and supporters in Kufa, and made you to come to this place. And now, Ya Aba Abdullah, I am honest and I am truthful, and I came to you seeking your apology. فَهَلْ تَرَى لِي مِن تَوْبَةِ. Do you think that Allah is going to accept my repentance? Imam Hussein immediately said to him, نَعَمْ إِن تُبْتَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Yes, O man, yes, O courageous man, if you seek sincere repentance now, it is never too late. Despite what you did to us, still Allah is forgiving and still Allah is compassionate. In tubta taba Allahu alayk. And then immediately Imam invites him. He says, come down and join us. Inzil. Allah, Imam invites him to join him and his friends. He says to him, I have one more request from you. Ya ibn Rasulullah, Aba Abdullah, ana laka farisan khayrun minni rajila wa ila an-nuzul yakunu akhiru amri. Since you have accepted and Allah has accepted my repentance, I do not want to delay my martyrdom. I want to face Allah with a pure, clean heart, and when I descend, it will be my last. This is for my martyrdom. Yes, I will join you, but when I am martyr, let me be on the back of my horse and give me permission. The Iraqi poet puts it in this way. This is the way he depicts the apology of Hur. Ya bin Hamid khil dakhil aliyak min dhanb al'amal tawmil tijiliyak. أنا الذي بدربك جعجعت بيك يا أبو السجاد ورعبت المداليل. يا من حبك فرض بالدين واجب تبت لله ودليل بنار ثاجب. يقل لا أمنوا حول يا راكب. يقل لا الساع ما هو محل تحويل. إلك راكب يا ابو السجاد هالساع أخير مننزل من الفرس للقاع. Leave me mounting my horse. I want to go to defend your camp. Imam Hussein عليه السلام gave him permission to go and fight. The man Al-Hur, he stood in the face of the enemies.
Minutes ago he was on the other side of the camp, and now he joined the camp of the truth, of the reality, the camp of martyrdom, the camp of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He addressed the crowd on the other side, and then after that he started fighting bravely in the middle of the army, in the middle of his enemies. He started fighting. He killed so many soldiers from the enemy's camp, and they gathered around him. They started striking him by sword. He fell to the floor. Nada Abu Abdullah, alayka minni salam. Oh Abu Abdullah, this is my peace and my greetings on you. This moment I want you to come next to me. Now that I have fulfilled my mission, my duty, my obligation, I cleansed myself, I am about to face and meet with Allah. Now I want your intercession and your help. Come to my aid, ya Aba Abdullah. Asra'a ilayhi al-Husayn, waqafa ala ra'sih. Qala abshir ma akhta'at ummuka idh sammatka hurra. Fa anta hurrun fi al-dunya wa sa'idun fi al-akhirah. Oh hur, your mother was very right to name you hur, because you have been a free person in this world, and in the hereafter you are a very fortunate and a blessed man. فَأَنْتَ حُرٌّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَسَعِيدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. After that, on the day of Ashura, let me conclude with this story. When Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander of the army of Bani Umayyah, he ordered the horsemen to trample upon the body of Imam Hussein and his companions in the middle of the field. The tribe of Al-Hurr al-Riyahi, they came. They said, wallahi, we would not allow the body of our leader Al-Hurr to be trampled upon by the horses of Bani Umayyah. They rescued him. They took him. Minna darjis ya khalna usah amama bghayad sallat bid al-asfah. بذيك الخيل نادتك البني رياح عميد عميد الحر عجب ينداس بالخيل على خشوم الزلم رغم النشيله وكل مجتول تنهض له جبيله تسل بيض السيوف وتعتني له لعند المعركه والجثه تشيل يا أبا العشيرة شال تبحر الظهيرة الكل منهم علي شال تلغيرة واويلاه بس ظلوا الما عدهم عشيرة بس ظلوا الما عدهم عشيرة عراي على الترب من غير تخسيل. زينب عليه السلام, she stood. They rescued all bodies, the only bodies which was left on the floor of the battlefield, the body of Imam Hussein, the decapitated body. Khoya min adat el yoqa' bil akwan wa yisir lan ash-shab ni ash-shan tahd akhwata wa tadfa' al jiman yahawtun lah b khatat al mi'dan yasjuh ma yanchan atshan. أنا شعتذر عندك ما لي لسان, أنا شعتذر عندك ما لي لسان, والله فزعنا لك من الخيم نسوان.
أحمي الضايعات بعدك ضعنا في يد النائبات. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله, إلهنا بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم فرج عن المكروبين والمحرومين, اللهم فرج عن أهلنا المظلومين، اللهم انصر علماءنا العاملين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبع، والباطل باطلا فنجتنب. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين، وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين وجد الحسين. تقبل هذا اليسير منا ومن الحاضرين بأحسن القبول. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء نهدي للجميع ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.